Nick, nice brahmachari ashram, you boys. The eight kumaras or something. So I think I have a sense of the topic with reference to the Gajendra Moksha pastime. How to deal with difficulties when they arise in our devotional service. Something that will be very easy for me is to give you a preview of one of the topics that we'll be discussing in Gitanagari. How many of you eight Kumaras will be going to Gitanagari for the... Okay. So you'll probably be having a lot of fun somewhere and you won't hear this discussion. So I'll try to keep it brief because... It's hard to hear things when you're young. The theme in Gitanagari is say yes to Krishna. And one of the ways to say yes to Krishna, or the circumstances of life, are when difficulties arise, or Prabhupada's phrase is reversals. He used it regularly, so he must have meant a certain context, you know, within his upbringing and use of language. What does that mean? From my Western perspective, reversal means something like you're in a car and you're going along at a normal pace and there's a head-on collision and next thing you know, you're going the opposite direction. Not exactly reversal, it's a collision and then you're going in a different way. But in the course of life, there are things that happen in their ordinary course of events, and then quite unexpectedly, something arises, and it doesn't go as you were planning. And it seems to keep going in another direction and then further in that direction, and looks like a calamity and like that. Kind thing. In course of life, those things happen, and how do you deal with it in a Krishna conscious way? So the theme in Gitanagari is going to be stay connected in your relationship with Krishna, or say yes to Krishna. The problem with material existence is we're in material existence, we don't belong here. The classic little example Prabhupada gives is the fish out of water. For us, being in water is an unnatural situation. For a fish, it's a natural situation. Take the fish out of water, give him a new computer. Give him a television set. Give him all the latest technology and movies and a hammock and sunglasses and hammock, you know, just fantastic, you know, amenities. And he's not going to be happy. There's only one thing that's going to make him happy. He could go back in the water and then he's happy. He's happy. Similarly, the problem with material existence is we don't belong here. It's the unnatural atmosphere or habitat for us. So, how did we get here? And if we understand how we got here, it'll tell us how we can get out. Very simple. I mean, there's an elaborate explanation, but a simple one is, simple one is that the entryway through which we came in to be seated together here, if we know where that entryway is, then we know the way to exit. Very simple. How did we come? That's how we can exit. So how did we come? We came by saying no to Krishna, or Bahir Mukha Jeev in the language of Jiva Goswami. We turned our mukha, our face or our attention away from Krishna. Bahir Mukha Jeev. And the solution to the problem is not just managing the problem better. It's turning our attention again to Krishna. So the best way to deal with circumstances that as you're going along the path of life and some unexpected difficulty arises is, here's the do is make sure that your relationship with Krishna is right in the front. Make sure your relationship with Krishna is right in the front of your consciousness. And then you can consider what's appropriate for addressing the circumstance in service to Krishna. Because our position in relation to Krishna is we're his servants. No problem. Our saying yes to Krishna, or it's a simple way of saying, our saying yes to Krishna means that we're situated in our relationship with Krishna. Eternally, every living entity, who are we? Well, we can say what we're not. We're not this body. And we can say we are spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. I'm spirit soul. That's incomplete. So spirit souls aren't in a vacuum. We're in a relationship with Krishna, like stars in the sky. Self-realization doesn't just mean I twinkle. I'm Brahman. What does Brahman do? I twinkle. We're conscious beings in a relationship with the Supreme Being. Jivir Swarupaya Nityara Krishna Das. We're the eternal servants of Krishna. That's our constitutional identity. So if we remain fixed in our constitutional identity, then when you're in the material atmosphere, you can handle the material atmosphere because it's an opportunity for service to Krishna, whether it's going this way or that way. Because this world is a world of duality. Sometimes and sometimes. Like the weather of Chicago. Sometimes and sometimes. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's day, sometimes it's night. Sometimes you're feeling happy, sometimes you're feeling sad. Sometimes you're honored, sometimes you're dishonored. Wherever there is something, it's up and it exists, and wait a while, it's going to move over to the other side. Because that's the nature of this place. It's the world of duality. So how do you address yourself with the world of duality when sometimes it's very difficult? Bhagavad Gita's instruction is you tolerate it. Matra sparshas tu kaunteya satoshna sukha dukada. Because it's according to the language of that verse of Bhagavad Gita, it's arising from sense perception, which isn't who we are. The mind and the senses is not who we are. Those are coverings of who we are. So you may have to make some practical arrangement for the surroundings, the body and the mind that's covering who we really are. But that's not who we are. We don't identify with who we aren't. We identify with who we are, and we make practical arrangements, whatever that's appropriate. That's the say yes to Krishna. In short, it's going to be much longer when we get to Gitanagari. There's multiple references I want to make, and I'm just scanning my memory here, which ones for our purposes this evening, so that we can end with the Gajendra Moksha pastime. One of them it comes from Lord Brahma, who's speaking to Prithu Maharaj. Prithu is an incarnation of Krishna, one of the avatar forms of the Lord, and he is a Shakti Avesh avatar, Shakti Avesh, a living entity empowered with the potency of, the full potency of the Supreme Lord to rule, Palana Shakti. He's the bearer of the Lord's Palana Shakti. So, Prithu has become the king. How he appeared is very interesting. And that he's establishing welfare for the citizens. And as a king, at that time, one of the methods was performing Ashvamedha Yajnas. So he had performed 99. And he was attempting to perform Ashvamedha Yajna number 100. And Indra started getting a little nervous, because he thought, uh-oh, he may want to be taking over my position as king of heaven. So he came and stole the horse. And there's details and details, and this is the Supreme Lord, the ruling potency, and someone has stolen the horse. Even he's Indra, the king of heaven. So he becomes upset. Skipping the details. And Lord Brahma, the ruler of the universe, or chief living entity within the universe, comes and pacifies Prithu, saying, just accept this as a providential arrangement. Providential arrangement means an arrangement of God. Providential arrangement. Do not be agitated and anxious, because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. So there's what to do and what not to do. Acceptance. And don't get into a fix the problem mode when it's something that is beyond your capacity. There are circumstances of life when it's cold in the winter. You can't make it not cold in the winter. You can make some adjustments, but you have to accept it's cold in the winter, etc. There are certain circumstances that are just imposed upon us, adiatmika, adidaivika, adibhautika, kleshas, that are beyond our... You make some effort to do something, but there must be some acceptance of the something that's just beyond your circumstance to deal with. I'll read Prabhupada's purport. It'll make some reference to another perspective on this. Prabhupada's purport. Sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. Such incidents should be taken as providential. Although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy, one should avoid counteracting such reversals, for the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. But Krishna has also advised us in this connection, this tolerating. Tongues to Tiksha Swabharata, chapter 2. We should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated. Now there's so many, how do you discern what's providential? And on the other hand, something that's not providential and it's meant for you to address it. And a short answer to that is, it takes a little intelligence to discern the difference. And whether it's one or the other, you make some practical arrangement for the circumstance. And at a certain point, like in the Gajendra Moksha story, he's an elephant and he's taking a bath and the alligator chomps on his leg. So he tries to shake the alligator off his leg. And the alligator doesn't let go. So he keeps doing it, and he keeps doing it, and keeps doing it, and keeps doing it. According to the Gajendra Moksha, the 100 years. That's a long time to keep doing it. And his strength became less. And less, because he was in an unnatural atmosphere, and the alligator was in the natural atmosphere. I mean, the alligator must have gotten tired too after 100 years, but... Then he realized it's over. And because of his previous life as a king, his super soul within, even within the body of an elephant, super soul within gave him remembrance of the stotras or the prayers, standard prayers that he recited during his previous life. You okay? You guys to see, they moved. You have, even if you're okay on the floor, you reciprocate with your friends who are accommodating you. Hare Krishna. So, practical arrangements may need to be made even when there's providential arrangements. It's not so easy to discern. Is this what Krishna wants? Or what does Krishna want? Does Krishna want that this alligator is chomping on my leg? Whether Krishna wants it or not, the alligator is chomping on your leg and you have to do something in practical terms. So he did. And then Krishna gave some remembrance to him of his previous life, and he started those wonderful stotras. And as he recited those wonderful stotras, with great anxiety and total dependence upon the Supreme Lord, because he was helpless, what happens in the course of reciting those stotras is, beyond the meaning of the stotra, this light went on inside. It said, you're my protector. I know that you will protect me. So instead of asking you for relief from my distressful situation, on the other side of this distressful situation, I pray to you that I simply have the opportunity to engage in your devotional service unconditionally for eternity. The circumstance helped increase dependence. Absolute, utter dependence. So, for a devotee, sometimes those arrangements, those difficulties are to help us increase our dependence, because devotional service to Krishna is beyond piety. Is that clear? Piety takes you to the heavenly planets. And beyond piety takes you to the spiritual realm. So it doesn't mean we don't care about doing good things or being pious people, but it's our focus is not being good and getting the rewards for being good, the fruits of piety. There's some people coming in. If we could all move forward, that'd be really nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll say it again as we shuffling a bit. Very important message of Bhagavad Gita that I didn't understand until I read Bhagavad Gita, the difference between heaven and Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God. Just sharing this with you. Within Christian theology, at least I never even came across the notion that there's a distinction between the two. Swarga, or heaven, is part of this created realm. And one who goes there is also, it's a temporary situation. After you exhaust the fruits of piety, you come back again. It's very clear in Bhagavad Gita. It's a temporary situation. It's not an eternal, permanent situation by any means. And those that are pious go to the place of the pious. And after your piety is exhausted, you come back again. And then you may do pious activities again, or you may, do the other kind. And just, it's the continual, and so, cycling, like a Ferris wheel. That was fun. Let's do it again. And Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God, is beyond the cycle of birth and death. It's another place altogether. For Krishna is very clear. Don't aspire for even the highest, beyond Svarga, even Brahmaloka. Topmost planet. It lasts as long as the universe lasts. But therein, birth and death also take place. So don't aspire for that, Arjuna. What's left? He doesn't recommend that you aspire for impersonal merging in Brahman either. Nowhere is that found in Bhagavad Gita. He advises, come to me. In his realm where forms are spiritual and eternal. Satchitananda Vigraha. And eternal loving exchanges with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Come to that position. That's Bhagavad Gita's message. So we're not simply looking for a pious arrangement to minimize the obstacles or address them with piety. Anyway, we're interested in taking full shelter of Krishna. And difficulties can, sometimes are, arranged by the Lord to help us take deeper shelter. And then the circumstance is taken away. And then what are you going to do? Remain in the position of shelter? There's a very nice circumstance described in the life of Haridas Thakur. Do you know who is Haridas Thakur? You've heard his name? Haridas? Haridas Thakur? You know who is Lord Chaitanya? Yeah. So, Lord Chaitanya came to bring the waiting for the audience before the Muslim ruler. While he went to the jail, all the other Hindus and Muslim persons in jail celebrated. Wow! A saintly person has come to jail to give us his benediction and his association. How fortunate. Because he was viewed as a saint. And so Haridas said, I give you my benediction that you stay like this forever. And by the expression on their face, they didn't cry or anything, but they didn't understand what he meant. And he said, yeah, I don't think you understand what I meant. He said that because of this circumstance, your senses are controlled. You don't have the opportunity to do any sense gratification. You're in jail. And you're in a position of hardship. And therefore your hearts are turning to God because of that position of hardship. You're praying. You have no distractions. You're just in this mood of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. That's what I'm saying. Don't leave that position. Stay like in that position. In 2 to 3 days, all of you will be released from jail. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. So don't worry about staying in jail forever. But when you leave jail, where's your heart going to be? The sense control may be gone. The depending upon the Supreme Lord may be gone. Your whole mood of depending upon him may be gone. So the circumstances helping you come to that position, appreciate the position, maybe not the circumstance, but the position that has brought you to. So again, the theme, especially those that you kind of arrived short while ago, the theme is how to address difficult circumstances that arise in the course of our lives as devotees. And, you know, for each of us, in differing degrees, sometimes it's like an avalanche, and sometimes it's a trickle, and sometimes it's somewhere in between. But there's always something. How to stay fixed in your devotional mood when those difficulties come. Here's Bhaktisiddhanta expresses it very nicely. So I'm just going to read, because his language is very precise. The world is temporary, and no one has come to live here eternally. Wherever the Lord keeps one at any point in time, one should cheerfully stay there and accept the reward or punishment from the Lord. All rewards or punishment that come from the Lord are ordained for one's ultimate benefit. We adore the rewards that come from the Lord's illusory energy, and his punishment gives us pain in many ways. Knowing that this punishment from the illusory energy is ordained for the purpose of gaining the mercy of the Lord, devotees do not reject it. They accept it cheerfully and with tolerance, realizing it to be the mercy of the Lord. Those who do not understand that the troubles of this material world are actually the mercy of the Lord search again and again for material happiness and material progress, and ultimately meet with failure. These are spiritual instructions on the topic, how to address difficult circumstances. When you're passing through them, particularly, tendency is forget the spiritual dimension, or you pay so much attention in addressing the issue, you forget yourself and you forget Krishna, and you become drawn into material consciousness of dealing with the difficulty. And it's only natural. I was thinking this just this morning. Looking out the window, I saw two birds, a male bird and a female bird. And it just, the non-human consciousness or activity is, they're, you know, flying around all morning looking for something to eat. They were involved in mating activities, eating, mating, and sleeping and defending. They hit a noise and they flew. So our lives can be like that also. Just eating, sleeping, mating, defending, in a nice way. In a sophisticated, elaborate way and spend our whole lives eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, like an animal. But higher purpose of human life is God-realization, self-realization. So how to address the circumstances when a danger comes or something or something or something comes so that our consciousness stays with the higher purpose of life. It requires a commitment. The seed of that commitment is with all of us, otherwise we'd be somewhere else doing something else. So nurturing that seed is the process of hearing and chanting daily, consciously, carefully. This was our yesterday evening discussion, taking shelter of the Supreme Pure so that our existence can become elevated to a purified state. We still take care of our eating, sleeping, mating, defending necessities. We regulate them and organize them in a religious manner. That's the pious. But the higher is the transcendental mission of human life. And back to Bhaktisiddhanta, when ordeal comes, it's ordained, or at least sanctioned by the Supreme Lord for some purpose. It's to help us in that spiritual mission. At least we can, you know, depending upon our regard for Krishna, we'll see it that way. Or see it, we won't see it that way, depending upon our regard for Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta's language in Brahma Samhita is, he calls it a fire of ordeal. Out of Krishna's great mercy to his devotees, he purges out by the fire of ordeal the root of all karma. What's the root of all karma? What's the root of material existence? We mentioned it at the very beginning. It's ignoring Krishna. At the root of all suffering, Prabhupada says it this way, the root of all suffering is ignorance. I'll say it again. The root of all suffering is ignorance. And the original ignorance is ignoring Krishna. The root of all suffering is ignoring Krishna. So when there's ignorance, and then with ignorance comes activities of ignorance, and then from activities of ignorance comes karmic bondage, how do you get rid of that root? I mean, it's not just a matter of snipping off the leaves. Because if the root is still there, it's going to keep growing. How do you uproot the problem? One of Krishna's methods is fire of ordeal. Now, how does it work, fire of ordeal? It's just like, yikes. And it depends on your Krishna consciousness, how you're going to deal with the ordeal. Besides saying, well, it really wasn't fun. I went to the sandbox to play with the other kids and they were nasty. So it wasn't fun at all. I'm not going to go to that sandbox anymore because the kids are nasty. But that's a temporary thing. There's still the intention is I want to enjoy independently of Krishna. The root of ignorance, the root of suffering, the root of the ordeal that we're passing through is because we're in material existence, because we turned our attention away from Krishna. The various good fortune, ill fortune circumstances of life are to help us come to our original position. If that's what our focus is, the say yes to Krishna focus, return to our original position, then you have strength. And I just want to stay in service to Krishna mood. Then you have more strength. The strength of humble service. And I think the last scriptural reference I'll make, it's really nice, and it's really core to our our lives as devotees in a world where there's duality, and sometimes, and too often it's the unpleasant. Than the so-called pleasant. So it's that the reference is, you'll find it quoted in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita purports from Lord Brahma speaking to Krishna in Canto 10, chapter 14. Chapter 14 comes after chapter 13. And chapter 13 is Brahma kidnapping the cowherd boys and the calves and putting them in a cave. And his reason for doing such a terrible thing, it's even in the world, it's crime. What to speak of interfering with Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan? My goodness. But he was curious when he saw the Agasura demon being killed by Krishna. You know, Agasura demon? Big serpent? You know that one? With his jaw up in the sky and on the ground, and the cowherd boys walked into the Agasura demon's mouth. You know that one? No? Over the weekend, your mom can show you too. You can read in Krishna book, the Agasura demon. You know the story? Agasura? Okay. So the cowherd boys went into the mouth. The calves went into the mouth. This giant, looked like a giant cave, but it was a serpent. So Krishna had wanted to rescue the cowherd boys. So what he did was, he went into the mouth of the Agasura demon too, who just clamped his mouth shut and was going to swallow Krishna. But what did Krishna do? Now you remember? Krishna, one of his mystic powers is he made his body bigger and bigger and bigger. So the serpent started to expand and expand and expand, but he couldn't expand as much as Krishna did. And eventually he suffocated. And the soul of Agasura went through the top of his head, mouth opened, Krishna and the cowherd boys went marching out of the Agasura's mouth, and the soul of Agasura merged into the body of Krishna. Lord Brahma just happened to be soaring around in the sky to observe Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and he saw, wow, how powerful is this little boy? So he got this idea of examining the extent of the mystic powers of Krishna compared to his. That was a big mistake. It wasn't like, you know, confrontational, challenging kind of. He was curious. But what he did was the wrong thing. And stealing the calves, the cowherd boys. So after the stealing, he went back to see what happened. What's Krishna going to do now? Is he going to start crying? Is he going to fall at my feet and say, oh, Brahma, please bring back the calves, the cowherd boys? Feel proud of his power and position, all of which was derived from Krishna. So when he went back to the scene of the crime, he saw the calves and the cowherd boys. He was bewildered, so he went back to the cave, and there they are in the cave. Then he went back, and there they are with Krishna. And then suddenly, they didn't disappear, but each of them manifested a form. Each calf and cowherd boy, and a lot of calves, each manifested a form of Narayan, surrounded by all the devas and the personified Vedas and this big cacophony of sound offering prayers, all like a big concert, showing all of the potencies of Narayan, each one. All of the, that's a lot of potencies, personified. It was quite a scene. And then all of a sudden, they all disappeared. The calves, the cowherd boys, the forms of Narayan, it was just Krishna. Smiling. Looking at Brahma with unblinking eyes. Brahma fell before Krishna. Again and again, and started offering prayers to Krishna, honoring this amazing exhibition, seeing his original form as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and the fullness of his potencies, although he looks just like a little cowherd boy. Unlimited, inconceivable potency. And so then in the course of those prayers, prayer number 8 in that chapter 14, he, putting it in very simple language, I know I'm going to get a big reaction because I did a really bad thing. What I'm not going to do, this is how to deal with difficulties. What I'm not going to do is forget you and invest instead all my attention and energy in trying to minimize, neutralize, or handle the reaction that's coming to me. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to do is accept what's coming to me, whatever it is. Whatever is coming to me is the reaction for this misdeed. I accept it. And instead of investing in the temporary or dealing with the difficulty, I am going to fix my mind on your lotus feet. And by fixing my mind on your lotus feet, I know what the result of that will be, and that is I'll attain your spiritual abode. Mukti Pade Svadayabhak, putting in simple language. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, just like a little boy who has a loving father. You have a loving father? So sometimes a loving father will embrace me. And sometimes he'll scold me. Sometimes a loving father, he'll give me nice sweet milk. And sometimes my loving father, he'll give me bitter medicine. Nimba juice. Bitter medicine. And in either case, the bitter Nimba juice or the sweet milk, the embrace or the scolding, I know that he has my best interest at heart. He's a loving father. And I accept both equally as coming from the loving father because he knows what's best for me. It's how to address difficulties or obstacles is don't check out on your shelter taking of Krishna or your faith in Krishna. Let it be an opportunity to strengthen that further than whatever it is already. The test, the little tension situation best responded to is by taking deeper shelter. We may not understand why the boy that is being fed some bitter medicine may not understand why. Well, the doctor prescribes something. You don't eat those foods because it's bad for your health. If you have a good physician, you just don't eat those foods because it's bad for your health. You may not understand why. You can ask why. Try to get some clarity as to why. You may, at the end, you may or may not understand. But if you have a good physician, don't eat those foods that are detrimental for your health. And eat the foods that are helpful for your health. And when you're healthy, then maybe you'll be able to better understand, at least subjectively. I got good advice from the doctor. Don't deviate from the position of shelter taking in Krishna. Stay and strengthen that shelter taking position in Krishna. Make some practical arrangements within reason to the best of the resources and understandings that you have available. Continue to search for other possible options, say health issues or whatever. But don't deviate from the position of shelter taking in Krishna. In the end, you'll be stronger, spiritually stronger, and more fit to go to the kingdom of God, to be with Krishna. That's Lord Brahma's prayer, that very important verse. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano. You'll find it in Bhagavad Gita purports. It's an important, the topic that was requested for this evening is important because we're in the world of duality. And in part, we have our expectations. Well, I've become a devotee, so I shouldn't have this duality thing, or at least that extreme part of the duality thing, because I'm a devotee. I deserve better than that. What's wrong with Krishna? Or something like that. It's not only within our tradition. There's other traditions that have the same perspective. I'll just say one because it's a nice one, and we'll end here. See if there's some discussion. Within Catholicism or Christianity, there's a saint, Saint Francis of Assisi. Have you heard his name before? Some of you. He was a saintly person. His view was very much like the view of Bhagavad Gita, Pandita Samadarshana. He was very kind to all living beings. In New York City, there's a church, Saint John the Divine is the name of the church. Famous, really old, huge church with lots of property. Who knows what it's worth? So they have an annual event called St. Francis Day, and they've invited us to cater it. And what they do, one of the things they do in St. Francis Day is they honor all living entities, because that's what St. Francis did. He saw the spiritual merit of all living entities. You know, you don't see the body. They have a body, but the real identity is the soul within, and honoring all entities because of the soul within, parts of God. So they have this part of the event is they have this procession. And they, you know, very odd forms of life, and they honor them. And one of the outstanding ones is they have this velvet pillow and a giant tarantula in a glass case. And they, you know, honor the giant tarantula going in procession along with all the other interesting species of life. And then they have a meal. So they want us to have the meal because they didn't feel so good about having non-vegetarian food after all that. So that's one of the features. He was a Pandita Samadarshana personality. And he also accepted the bitter nimba juice or the sweet milk position of God. He's the giver of whatever is best for us. So at a certain stage of his life, he became very ill, extremely ill, bedridden, in lots of pain. And the person who was assisting him was named Leo. And Leo said to St. Francis, I can't bear this anymore. You're in so much pain. You're so dear to God. Can you, if you just ask God, please reduce the pain so you're not so much suffering? Can you do that? Can you just make that prayer to God? And he was bedridden, just lying there for days in pain. He turned and looked at Leo and was silent. And after some time he said, Leo, if I didn't understand your heart and understand that you're interested in simply my well-being and nothing else, I wouldn't want to see you ever again. I tell you, get out of here, and I don't want to even see you. Because our position is that God is our master, and he's our well-wisher, and he's our dearmost friend. He didn't use that language. Those are our Vaishnava terms. But he knows what's best for our well-being. And I'm not going to ask him to change what's in the best interest of my well-being. Whatever he wishes, it's for my well-being. Exactly, Bhaktisiddhanta's writing. And then he fell out of bed, got on the ground, kneeled on the ground, and began offering prayers to God. Not, you know, please take away the pain. Whatever you wish to do with me. You know, like Shikshastakam. You can embrace me. You can neglect me. You can make me brokenhearted. You can do with me whatever you like. There's only one thing: I wish to be engaged in your loving service. That's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching. And so it's not tradition specific, it's principle based. Difficulties have a design or purpose. One of those purposes is taking deeper shelter in the personality of Godhead and accepting the essence of our life is our relationship with the personality of Godhead, not the degree of comfort or discomfort, favorable, unfavorable circumstances. It's going to change. It's the nature of the place. God is not being unkind if it's over on that side, or being particularly kind if it's over on the other side. It's not the right criterion. The essence of our existence is to be in our relationship with Krishna. He is kind, and he'll make arrangements in an ultimate way for our well-being. That is how to address difficulties. And strengthen that shelter taking. Then greater clarity of thought and, you know, opportunities for what practical activity you may do to be Krishna's servant in the circumstance. Rise above and become transcendental by Krishna's mercy. Went down to three. Four. Four Kumaras. You're one of the four. You stuck it out. Good going. Any discussion? Yes? You don't want to be on a microphone?
This is self-observation, Maharaj, that when great difficulty comes in my life, yes, I do take deeper shelter of Krishna, but it's with a very fruitive mentality that may this difficulty go away. So I've been observing this within myself, and to be honest, I do feel a lot of shame and embarrassment that after having heard so much, how I'm not able to correct this deficiency in my thinking and in my process of shelter taking. Why I am so materialistic in my shelter, and what it will take for me to overcome that.
Well, you're halfway there just by recognizing that it's there. That's all right, you're halfway there. You know, the beginning. Is that recognition. Now, and then move because your heart is sincerely wishing to move, then you acknowledging where you are, recognizing where you want to be, attempting to make steps in the direction of where you want to be. And simply desiring to be where you want to be in a sincere fashion is a big step. Now, to do it on your own, not possible. To do it with Krishna's help, possible. So the effort is, the next step is relying more on Krishna to go the next step. That requires spiritual strength. That's beyond your own strength. And Balaram is the source of spiritual strength. So, make that connection. Okay, make that connection. Make that connection. Hang on. She wants to add to the story. Make that connection. Maharaj, I've been trying for 18 years to make that connection. It's not very strong. Okay. That's the recognition part, and then you continue. And Krishna sees your effort. Krishna knows better than you know. And just, you continue to take the medicine. Now, if someone's medical condition is more acute, then the medicine will take longer for that person than the person who has a milder version of the same disease. Medicine will act more quickly or less quickly. So the acknowledgement is, I have a strong condition here. It's going to take a little longer. It just shifts from not diminishing effort, but relying more with that same effort on descending mercy. However long that takes. Last night, you weren't there, but last night I told the story, but I checked the story. I told the story of the king and his minister. I found the reference. So I'll just say it again for those of you that weren't there. The emperor was Emperor Akbar, and his minister was, name was Birbal. So, you know, this is Rajasthan, I guess, or near Vrindavan, and Agra. There, it's in the winter, and Birbal is sharing to Akbar. It comes back to your question. He says to Akbar, a man would do anything for money. And Akbar hears his minister speaking this way. He goes over to a river and it's ice cold. And he said, I don't think it's true. And how could a man immerse himself in this freezing cold river all night long just for money? Birbal said, I'm sure I can find a person that will do that. You know, like take the theory into practical. So Birbal searched and searched, and he found a poor man who agreed to try it. So Akbar had his soldiers watching as the man entered into the river in the dead of night and stayed there the whole night and came out the next morning. And then the poor man with Birbal came before the king, and the king was astonished. You know, for money you would do this? And how did you survive? And the poor man said, in the distance there was a street lamp, and I just focused my attention on the street lamp so I would be, not my mind would not go to the difficulty of a bitter cold. So the king said, oh, you're taking heat from the street lamp. You cheated. I'm not going to give you the reward. You know the story? Okay. Okay. So the poor man went to Birbal and said, help. The king cheated me. The king made a promise and he broke his promise. So the next day, Birbal didn't go to the king's court. And the king was wondering what happened to Birbal. So he sent a messenger to ask Birbal to please come. And Birbal didn't come. saying, I'm preparing my meal. But it took hours and hours and hours. So the king became a little agitated. He went to Birbal's residence and saw some twigs, not a big blazing fire, and a pot of khichdi. I said 6 feet, it was 5 feet according to the story, above the fire. And the king was with some of his attendants, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm preparing my meal. And they just laughed. That, you know, I can't come before I finish preparing my meal. He said, what is your intention here? Why is this little fire and the thing is 5 feet above? The short reply that Birbal gave was, just as the poor man received heat from a street lamp more than half a mile away, I'm cooking my khichdi. The king got it, and he said, okay, I'll reward the poor man. Prabhupada told the story. So, bring the fire closer to the pot. So whatever it is, it's not necessarily quantitatively more, but qualitatively. So from the heart level, bring the activities closer to the heart. And, but I've been trying, and so then continue trying. The prescribed method doesn't change because it's, you know, something seems to be an obstacle. One who strives by right means is assured of success, Krishna says. So continue to strive by right means, and your journey may be more arduous than somebody else's. It's okay. It's not a competition or a race. It's a relationship with Krishna. Accept your circumstance, the condition of heart, and strive by right means. However long that takes, because it's the right means. It's the say yes to Krishna message again. Well, you identify too much with the mind. That's like, it's another version of the same answer. As cited the other evening, Canto 5, Chapter 6, verses 2 through 7, or 2 through 5. Instructions about don't place so much value in the mind. I mean, that's not the solution, but it's part of the problem, is the feeling overwhelmed by the mind has to do with how much value you place in the mind. You can hear the recordings of Prabhupada speaking on those verses in Vrindavan. It's like, it's powerful. It doesn't mean you hear the class, okay, now it's over, but it's, you know, knowledge and detachment through the power of the spiritual instruction. Too much identification with the mind. It's not like we, you know, we don't have one, but valuing the noise in the mind too much. So that there's something that's part of the taking shelter of Krishna, or the say yes to Krishna, or how you receive the medicine, or how it can be less effective than it could be. Placing too much value in the mind. Okay. Something else? You wanted to participate in this?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was considering the other end of the spectrum. People, I mean, the story of one pair of footprints on the seashore.
One pair of footprints on the
seashore. I mean,
seashore. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, are they not spiritual at all? Then they think the Lord carried through the difficult times. This jiva soul is seeing only one pair of footprints, and he is asking God, why you were not there?
This is a Christian story.
Yeah. So why you were not there at my when I was in most difficulty? And then Jesus says, that is the time I was carrying you. Is that not spiritual, that one, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's mixed. It's spiritual because the connection is there, but it's mixed. Do I need to elaborate? It's mixed. Anything else? Yeah. About the which one?
You were talking about Agasura demon.
Ah.
And how when he left his body, his soul merged into the body of Krishna.
Right.
But then we, when we were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, in that it was saying that Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, when they gave up their body, they didn't merge into the body of Krishna because they were so envious of him and they saw him as an ordinary person. So our question was, where did the soul stay in interim until they didn't come back as Shishupala and Dantavakra? What happened?
I've asked that question of other scholars and didn't get a clear answer. Somewhere. Because a lot of time passed. They didn't like right away go to the next form of life. I discussed it with Sataputta, you know, way back. And he gave an answer that I couldn't understand. And I can't remember what the answer was that I didn't understand at the time. Something to do with higher dimensional space or something like that. You know, there are realms, not exactly like this, but there are realms that we're on a different time frame here and they went to one of those realms and so a limbo position kind of and didn't take another form right away because it wasn't the plan of the Lord to take another form right away. So they were in this other space where time moves in a different manner than here, and then time came and they appeared. Something like that. The particular is they didn't achieve liberation, so they didn't go to the Brahmajyoti and hang out in the Brahmajyoti for a while and then descend. So that's not where they went. I'll do a little research and send the answer that I get after I do the little research. Maybe somebody these days has the answer to that question. Where do they go? Oh. You got one? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.